Welcome to Chic Perspectives. I'm Elizabeth Gordon, the Chic Entrepreneur, wishing you all chic success. We are here today talking about how to succeed with style with Mega Rodriguez, who is a technology consultant and the CEO of Higher Humanity. Mega is an expert business strategist and technology consultant with over 11 years of experience as an entrepreneur. With her consulting work, she's really committed to helping women business owners identify how to align their heart's calling with their business objectives. We were just talking about this before we went live on the air, and I love the way that Mega really encourages women to bring out their authentic selves and integrate that into the business, and then how to leverage technology and social media, web-based software, all that fun stuff to really market that authentic self and their authentic value into the marketplace and make lots of money and have lots of friends and make lots of connections and success. So we're going to dive right in. Mega, welcome to the Chic Perspective Show.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
I'm excited to have you on today. It's so nice to meet other women that are so passionate about this idea. So talk a little bit about this idea of being authentic. A lot of entrepreneurs come out of a corporate marketplace. You and I both did. You spend, you know, good part of that beginning part of your career learning how to fit in, how to be like everybody else, how to not make waves. And then you become an entrepreneur and you've got to do the exact opposite. Almost.
Indeed. Yes.
So tell your story. How did you get there? How did you realize that that this was your calling and your path?
Well, for me, it began when I started being an entrepreneur, when I left corporate America and sort of jumped off the edge and became a business owner. I had all the rules and regulations in mind from big corporate America. And for me, it was a bit like I felt confined, like I couldn't quite breathe. And so when I stepped into having my own business, I still was trying to live by these rules that you learn in business school, you learn in corporate world. And over the course of time, through the School of Hard Knocks, where I say
of
I have
course.
My master's degree from.
I know. I sometimes feel like I'm working on a PhD.
Yes, I'm onto that now. And so as I went along in running a business, what I found was that I spent so much money. Originally, it was in marketing. It was actually the money I spent in my company marketing in what I thought the consumers wanted to see, and spent thousands and thousands of dollars in conventional marketing. And in the meantime, my business was growing exponentially through customer referral and relationship-based business.
Okay. So you're spending all this money on traditional marketing because that's what you think you're supposed to do. That's
right.
What everybody else does. But meanwhile, really, it was all about the relationships and the referrals.
Right.
So what was the lesson out of that?
Well, the lesson out of it, which I now apply today when I work with entrepreneurs, is the same thing. I see people, they want to jump right out, and in the case of social media, they want to run out and get a Facebook account, a Twitter account, whatever they think is supposed to be the thing, but they haven't actually done the back-end work, which is to step out of that box that is drawn around us based on all the woulda, shoulda, coulda, and they're not really being themselves. And so therefore what I learned was that success comes in the relationship of an individual human being. It doesn't matter if you're using a computer or it's face to face. It is about being that. And again, that word authentic might get overused sometimes, but it's really genuinely being yourself, showing up in your business and in every area of your life in those relationships that way.
Now, you are big into the social media world, and I know it's what everybody is on the front of everyone's mind as far as how to integrate social media into the marketing strategy. You just came back from a conference in
Yes.
Nashville. What were some of the big takeaways, or what was the social media buzz at this conference?
What was really refreshing about this conference, and it was called PodCamp, is that there were presenters that actually reinforced what I've been talking about, and it's so nice to hear it come from, you know, like you hear other people in your industry, it's like, yay, this is starting to come online.
Oh, it's exciting.
That was saying it starts based on what they call organic marketing. And you know, I've used that term as well, and it's a term that kind of sounds a little bit like, gee, I'm going to go out and create a garden. But really it is. It's about starting with your friends, your immediate circle of influence, and creating, going outward from your raving fans. And that was one of the things that one of the speakers talked about. As a very quick example, there was a there's an ice cream store in this little suburb of Nashville.
Okay.
And this was actually for small business owners, this particular session that I was in. And in a matter of 2 or 3 months, they gained 3,000 fans on their Facebook fan page.
Wow.
Not doing anything but doing good business. And their fans drove that volume
outward. So rather than going in and saying, how do we get all these fans? Really, instead, how do we provide the best experience to the people that we already have who are already coming, and realize if you do that well enough, you'll create your own legs. They'll become your legs.
Yes. And there was another takeaway was there was a speaker who is with a big, very large marketing firm in Nashville, and they have Chase Bank and the state of Tennessee and some other very large customers. And she said, you know, the ultimate thing comes down is that you have to be truthful in social media and life. And that's the key to success. And she says, we don't encourage any of our customers to deceive or to create a false image of who they are.
Interesting. Now, and it's unfortunate, but it actually is very different from what you think of traditional business. Like, you've got to put on this false professional front because nobody really wants to see your warts. So cover them up and try and fit in, right, and be like everyone else. And I think especially women feel like that because they're already entering what may be perceived or feel like at times a man's world. Mm-hmm. So when you're going into a world that you know isn't your own, you even feel more like you've got to cover up or convey a certain professional presence that may not ring true to your quirks or your innovation, your unique perspective or way of looking at the world. How can people get comfortable with that? Because it is uncomfortable to say, wow, I'm coming up, I'm stepping out, and it's all me now.
I think there's some personal work that has to be done, which a lot of times we spend so much time focused in the sort of the business side that whether we are working for ourselves and are solopreneurs or we have 50 employees in our company, there is a piece of personal excavation, and that what I mean by that is you have to sort of dig out who you are out of the pile of all the stuff that society, that your corporate job, that all the things in the past have identified you as. And as an example of this, I think that some people come out to start businesses, and I run into them at networking events all the time. They come out to start an accounting firm because they were an accountant and they lost their job.
Right.
But that's not what makes them passionate.
It's just what they know and what they've, the knowledge that they have, but it's not necessarily what drives them.
Right. So one example is that there's a book out called The Passion Test by Janet Atwood.
Yes. It's a good one.
That's an excellent way to really, you got to listen to your heart, and we have to get out of our heads. So part of it as a business owner is to step into the space of a little bit of, not to venture too far off and say spiritual, but it's really about getting to what your heart says. And connecting it that your heart is what really will shine through when you walk into a room.
That's interesting because how do people perceive that when they hear that from you? I'm curious because it is a very different message, but I think it's so true.
Actually, they kind of go, really? It's like, oh, someone gave me permission that's okay, you know, as a professional. Because, you know, as when they come and they hire me as a consultant to say, you know, what should I do? This is kind of these things that I'm struggling with. And when I say that, it's like a breath of fresh air. Like they go, oh, really? Because I find that really that's what all of us, when we come down to when someone gives us permission to then step into a different space and go, oh, well, maybe there's another possibility. Then they start playing with that. And for some people, I've recommended that be a visioning board. And I'm not talking about a visioning board like the huge visioning board like, you know, I want to have a $5 million house in 3 years.
Right.
But a visioning board of if you could walk into a room and be projected as exactly who you want to be seen as, what would it be? Go pick out a bunch of magazines and just take out every picture without a filter of, oh, I can't do that. And take it out and put it up on a board and see what shows up.
What a great exercise. That sounds like a lot of fun. So tell me what kinds of things you work on with your clients. I mean, we've touched on some of it, but why do people seek you out? And what are some of the results that you've been able to achieve with them through this work?
The most common reason people seek me out is I don't know what to do with my social media.
Okay.
And then usually, in the process that I do to start my clients out, I have them fill out a profile, which is a marketing profile. And it's based on who's your target market. And usually we stop right at question one. Who's your target market? And they tell me it's women between 20 and 55. Okay.
Which is a lot of different people with very different personalities, situations, problems, challenges.
Right.
I know. That's funny. That's not specific or target at all.
Right. And yet, because in the general sense, they say, well, that's a target market. I'm like, yes, that's the broad side of a barn target market, but it's not the key to success target market because, and I had to learn this, and this is what's been the evolution of my own business, is that you cannot be afraid to isolate your primary target market down to a very specific, like if a person walked in the room and you said, that's my target market, and not to dovetail off into the law of attraction, but it goes back to the clarity of exactly what you want, and that person will begin to be attracted to you, because the clients I have now are those people that I've gotten very specific about who they are, and it makes me love working with them. And I feel that much more committed to their success because they're exactly who I resonate with.
And you're right, because it is scary to narrow, because you might already feel like I need more clients.
Right.
So it's counterintuitive to think about narrowing the pool. But once you do get that level of clarity, it's amazing how powerful it is. I got a call this morning and somebody said, I looked at your website and I see that you're exactly the person that we want to come speak at our conference. And right, because there will be other people that will say, well, that's not the right person. But by getting more clear, you find you're attracting exactly who's looking for you, just you, and you fit the bill perfectly. That's neat.
Right.
So technology and social media, this is sort of the opposite of the personal touch sometimes. How do we still retain that same sense of connection, personality, and authenticity when we're doing it with our thumbs on our BlackBerry, you know, or through the use of all these gadgets and gizmos that I'm still just trying to figure them all out myself? What's some advice that you can give in that realm?
Well, one is, again, stop long enough to really get specific on who your audience is, because just like any other form of communication, if you're clear on who your audience is, you will then speak more appropriately to what they want to hear, or what they are listening for. And then the next step is a little bit of transparency, which for I find with my clients sometimes, and I hear this not just from my clients, but other people. Well, I don't want to get on social media because I'm a private person and I don't want all that stuff out there about me. And so the thing is, it's a little bit of transparency more than what we have previously been used to, being kind of behind the wall and saying things that reflect your personality. They're not offensive to anyone. They're not challenging to a lot of belief systems, unless that's your business. I mean, there's some people that really drives their business.
Controversy sells sometimes, right? If you're Rush Limbaugh, then you want to piss people off.
Exactly. So the key thing is that you become transparent and share things that are off the top of your head. You know, a lot of people say, well, I don't have time to do all that social media stuff. But if you put an app on your BlackBerry, you get a smartphone at least, and you use that technology to your advantage, then you can put little transparent things out, which then say, oh, you know, I learned this. I'm at a conference today, and I just heard this really cool thing, and you pass it along. And people will pick you up just because, oh, she shares little crumbs of information that she ran into out in the daily world. Or photos, like if you're driving down the highway and you see something, don't photo and drive, okay? I've actually done that at a stoplight before, where I take a photograph of something, and, you know, later that day I will stop and upload it to my Facebook, and then people will be like, "Oh, that was really cool," you know, whatever. So it's about adapting a bit of yourself, sharing a bit of yourself into your image. Then again, that's really where people fall in love with, is individuals, not these big facades of corporations.
Right. And that's what you really have as your strength as an entrepreneur, is to carve out this different, you don't have to worry about what's the policy. You can take some risks and do some different and unique things like that and let your personality show. So when people start to let some of that out and create that conversation and be having it driven from a very personal, authentic way, what's the reaction from their market? What do customers say back? How does that open the door to building business relationships?
Depending on your medium, because there's depending on the social media, it's different for each one. But what tends to happen is that people will say, I loved what you said about this one time. And then they actually start a conversation with you because something that struck a nerve with them. And it becomes an exchange of conversation where then they go out to your website because maybe they've only been on your Facebook page or your Twitter page. And now you said something. Now they want to go look at your About You page.
Okay. They're like, who is this person? Or what does her company really do?
And then from there, sometimes it's even referral where they don't ever need you, but they at least know more about you. So then when they hear someone else say, I could sure use somebody who does consulting or somebody who does massage or whatever, and they know enough about you to go, there's this person I know, and then you refer.
Okay. So, I mean, it's leading to business activities. It's not just twittering away time, if you will. I think you have to be very focused on what is kind of your end objective out of some of these tools. That's one of the complaints I hear is people don't want to spend the time because they don't necessarily see the ROI right away. As far as what motivates the business activities that people are taking, I know different people have different purposes in their business. So it depends really where they're coming from. Talk a little bit about, like, do you have an example of how some people have used the social media as, like, being a change agent to drive revenue or to create power or get more power in certain situations?
Well, I think I would like to use the example of social entrepreneurship, which is a word a lot of people don't quite know what it is, but it's when you take your heart's work, like if you want to make a difference in raising money for something. And it's that particular thing is one of your passions.
Okay.
And when you go to fundraise for it, so let's say that it's, you're working with battered women and you want to raise funds for that organization.
Right. This is a cause that you're supporting and your goal is to raise fundraising.
And if you tie it with something that's in your professional realm, like if you associate how you raise money associated with one of your professional skills or professional strengths, then what happens is people attach to you because of the passion that you have for what you're doing. And in the meantime, you are subtly promoting what you do professionally and positioning yourself as an expert, which obviously, if as an expert, you are selling your accounting services for the work, and a percentage of your profits then goes towards contribution for the battered women's shelter, then people will say, oh, she does accounting, you versus the other accountant, and they know yours is going to something that enrolls them. Then in a social media space, you can talk about the tips of accounting all day long, big deal.
Right.
But when you start talking about
it, kind of goes in one ear and out the other after a while, especially if you're hearing it from a lot of different people that aren't that different.
Right. So then you take it and you talk about how you're teaching accounting. Like another thing you do is you go and you teach personal finance accounting to the women so that when they leave the shelter, they know how to manage their money like they've never done before. Then people know that you're teaching, which then elevates your professional status and your educational, your expert status as well. So for a lot of people, social media is about promoting your expert status and your knowledge and what you're good at, and then also making it in a way that's either entertaining and highlighting every time you've ever screwed up, because then people are surely going to follow you because they just love to.
Everyone loves humor is one of the best ways, I think, to market and differentiate. Absolutely.
So it's about converting. It's about converting the standard dry conventional stuff that anybody could say and making it something that people will then relate to at a realistic level. And then when they're ready, because the thing is, you know, some people might take 2 years that they listen to you and they follow you. And then one day they're ready and they say, I've known about you and now I'm ready for this. And it really is, it's a patience game. It's not, I have some people come and go, oh, I want to get on social media and in 3 months I have a conference. I'm like, well, then you missed your window because it's not instant.
You're a little late here to the party.
Right. So it's like every other human relationship. It is about building up this stuff because there's times I've gone off of Twitter for a period of time because of something going on with my business or my life. And then I've come back and people be like, hey, you're back. I've been looking for you. And you're like, I don't even know who you are, but very cool.
That is really neat. So it becomes like this virtual world. And suddenly that people are like, if you've been making an interesting and valid contribution all along, then your presence is missed. And when you do take a little holiday.
Right.
That's great. So, and it does take time. I think that is really important for people to understand. This is not an overnight quick fix. This is a way of investing in building those relationships. What are some reasonable type goals that people should set in terms of if they're just starting to foray into social media, or maybe they just gotten their account up and they've got a 100 or so friends or fans? How can they take it to the next level? And what are realistic expectations?
Well, I think the realistic expectations is sort of qualified based on how big your network of people is already, because some people who've come out of corporate America, I have some people that I've worked with who have no network, like they got their personal friends who don't care anything about what they're doing with their business, who we start from zero to, if we can get to 100 followers in a month, that's good because we don't use any automation, no automatic follow
tools.
Okay,
this isn't sending out a bot to search on different words or something like that. This is all one-on-one, a person-to-a-person type connection performing.
Yeah, and there's a million tools out there, and some of them are okay, but the key thing is that the really it depends on how much time is committed to those relationship building. Because if they have a budget and they say, hey, you know what, I don't have time to go build my own followers, but can you do it for me? We have to organically build them up where we're never really more than like 10 or 20% higher than the number of people following them. So we have to make sure that we shape the social circle they're creating to really be people who will pay attention to them at the end of the day.
Okay.
And so it can take, I have one client that over a period of 6 months, we went from 500 followers to now she's at 1800.
Wow.
And that was organically done, again, where there's no robots involved.
Okay. Well, then, and what are some of the effects that that's had now on the business?
She's had a lot more people who share her. She has a radio show, and so she's got a lot more people in her Twitter community that will say, God, I just love what she does. She's so much fun. And so they'll share out her radio links and her when she's doing a special, or she's got something on her website that's for sale because she has a coaching business. And so it's beginning to sort of ripple out to where people, even though if they can't be on the radio show, they'll still share her Twitter about her radio show just to their people because they like her.
Oh, that's great.
So I'm seeing a lot more links out to her from people who are totally unassociated with her, like in a close, they're not her regular
family.
Right,
it's not her mom sending it out.
It's just people that think she's really cool.
That's awesome. And that's exactly what you want to achieve. Now, one of the other effects that all of this technology and social media stuff has happened is it's kind of shrunk the world and made some things sort of geographically neutral on a certain level. But one of the things you have in here is know where your target market lives, which is probably geographic, but also like where they live in their mind or what they think about. Talk a little bit about what you mean by, knowing where they live and really finding them there.
Yeah, it's that psychographics aspect of how they think and where they think. And there are some people who, honestly, they don't need to invest a great deal of time. You always need to what I call own your real estate, which means in case you ever decide to change your strategy, you hold the usernames to this vast universe of social media because some of them collapse and some of them stay, and you never know exactly where you might go in the future. But the key thing is, again, where are their watering holes?
Okay.
For moms, for example, Twitter is a huge, huge community for mom entrepreneurs.
That's what I've heard. Well, it's so nice because if you're on the go, it's really easy with the whole mobile aspect.
Right.
And short, because as a mom, sometimes you literally only have 30 seconds in between, crisis to crisis or diaper to diaper.
Right. So it's some businesses are hyper local, for example, a lawn care service.
Right. You're not going to want to network with people in China because it doesn't make sense for your business. But on the other hand, there may be some markets or businesses where it would, and it's really more about overlapping interests than the actual physical location.
And the flip side to social media is that you are as it is as valuable to follow people who are your thought leaders, meaning other people in your industry, in other places that might give you ideas. Because
it's not just about how many fans can I get behind me following me. It's also about who am I looking to for leadership and new ideas and new thinking patterns.
Right. Especially if you are sharing knowledge and educating other people, because there's infinite amounts of knowledge, and to keep your ego out of the picture and to really say, okay, there is a lot of interchange of information. Even when you share other people who might be your quote unquote competitor stuff, it shows that you are actually listening to the world.
Right. You're in the know, you're reading, you're listening to what else is out there. Which I think says a lot as far as your overall professional, the fact that you're continuing to reinvest in your own growth.
Right.
So that's neat. Okay, we're almost out of time. Gosh, this has been so fun. I've learned a lot. Megan, I want to make sure that everybody has your website information. So why don't you go ahead and tell people where they can find more on your company and working with you.
Well, directly on my website, it's mega, M-E-G-H-A, success.com. That will link you to my Facebook and my Twitter accounts from there.
Absolutely. Of course. I would expect nothing less from such a pro. Okay. Megasuccess.com. And we'll have that on the website as well for all of you listening. Now, I do like to ask all of my guests on the Chic Perspective show to share like one killer chic tip with our listeners. What's one thing you've learned through your entrepreneurial journey that you would pass along as one of the most valuable lessons or tips you can offer to other chic entrepreneurs out there?
I've learned it very early today, actually, and that is when you have a provider who is a critical aspect of your business, if they're doing something in your business, make sure that you have your alternate providers' numbers and information ready to go behind them just in case something fails. In particular, that's a software programming issue, but specifically that has to do with anything where you can't do the task yourself if it's an urgent part of your business operation.
That is a good one. And that is really a different one. And so, because that really shows you're on top of things, like you're the girl with the plan and the backup plan. And if anything can go wrong, you've got a backup solution ready to go. I love that. Where do you see social media going in the future? I mean, we're really at the very early stages of this whole evolution. What's next? What's going to be on the horizon? You know, in the next 6, 12 months, what are we looking at here in this industry, in this world?
I think the main thing is I keep running into people who there's sort of a desensitization, and there's so much stimulus that we're going to see more reduction in the number of channels that people choose, and more of a people pick a couple of things that they really like. And then because the human brain can only handle so much information, at this point, we're at the point where you have to see something 47 times to see it. And that's actually an exhaustion of the human brain. So I think we're going to see kind of a continued shift to paid. I think there's going to be an elevation in premium services.
Okay. Like
this bubble of freak is only going to go for so long. And I think that we're going to see some premium quality where it will then kind of elevate the levels of the experiences that you can have within the social medias that you choose.
I like that. That's very insightful. And yeah, you have got a great blog out here on the social overstimulation.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoyed that one as well. Definitely check that blog out at the Mega Success website. Thanks so much for coming on today.
Thank you. It's been
a real pleasure. I hope we'll have you back sometime. Everybody, this is Elizabeth Gordon, and I'm signing off for today. It's been fun chatting with you, wishing you all chic success until our next week's interview. Until then, check out the website for more chic perspectives at chicentrepreneur.com. We'll talk to you next week.